none are so hopelessly enslaved as those who falsely believe they are free. The truth has been kept from the depths of their minds by masters who rule them with lies. They feed them on falsehood till wrong looks like right in their eyes. For all of those with eyes that can see, whose spirits are quickened by words they can hear, the truth is alive and he lived as a man whose life was a gift to this world. And if he has called you, this mystery will soon be revealed, and it will set you free. The truth will set you free, just like he set me free. Lost sheep wandering in this world, who grope through the darkness, who stumble and fall. Your shepherd is searching, he's calling your name, he's seeking you out night and day. And if you should hear his sweet voice, let him guide you today. Because he is the way. Yes, Jesus is the way. He is the only way. Jesus, the way and the truth and the life. Jesus, the way and the truth.
Greetings, my Israelite brothers and sisters. May the divine influence be with you. This is part one of Jesus Was a Jew, or Was He? You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Jesus Was a Jew, or Was He? Can be found in the main menu, or in the Who's Who section, or in the Word Study Audio section on the menu. Jesus Was a Jew. Or was he? Ask anyone if they think Jesus was a Jew. The answer would almost always be,
yes. Jesus was born in the land of Israel to a Jewish mother, raised in Galilee in a Jewish home, and taught Judaism in Jerusalem, the Jewish capital.
How do you know Jesus was a Jew?
Because it says so in my Bible.
Where?
The biblical record sets out the facts. Jesus Christ is the son of David, the son of Abraham, Matthew 1:1. The biblical record also presents Jesus as living a Jewish lifestyle and keeping the Jewish law. He was reared in a Jewish home, and Jesus' Jewish parents were careful to do all that the law required of them, Luke 2:39. In his ministry, Jesus often taught in synagogues, Matthew 13:54, Luke 6:6, John 18:20, and even in the temple, Luke 21:37. As a Jew, Jesus observed Passover, John 2:13, the Feast of Tabernacles, John 7:2 and 10, and Hanukkah, John 10:22. Jesus was called the King of the Jews, Mark 15:2.
Well then, there you have it. Case closed. Jesus was a Jew. There's no need to study, no need to follow the law, no need to rightly divide the word of truth and use discernment. The King James Version Bible, the other Bibles, your preacher, your church, and practically everybody else says that Jesus was a Jew. Or was he? Is this enough evidence to base this belief and trust upon our salvation, upon a Jewish Jesus? Can the Bible, especially the King James Version, be wrong? Can your preacher and your church be wrong? Can the worldwide accepted belief that Jesus is a Jew be wrong? Please join me as we examine the evidence.
What evidence? The Bible, my preacher, and my church says Jesus was a Jew. End of story.
Around 2012, I found myself in a heated discussion with Casey, a good fellow I worked with, a Judeo-Christian, about Jesus and his racial descent. For some reason, I was intrigued, because I plainly did not know. Most everything we know about the Bible is from what we have been told. My parents were Christians, and we went to church as a family for the first 12 years of my life. I didn't care much for church. I didn't pay much attention except for the Sunday school stories of David and Samson. We left the church because something was just not right in them. My parents met some new Christian friends, and they started having fellowship and Bible studies at home. My parents got into Pete Peters from Scriptures for America, and that led to other preachers and teachers. I was still not interested at the time. I was young and had better things to do. Then, later in my 30s and living in the Bible Belt among hardcore Baptists, for the first time I was really interested. My spirit was moving. This was because of my friend Casey and our heated discussion on the topic. I did some research that night after work, and I was led to the audio archives of Bertrand L. Comparé. He was a pastor in the 70s in San Diego, California. An excellent preacher with a simple but detailed delivery of his sermons. One pastor led to another, which led to more teachings and information. The more I found, the more I was hooked. I remember asking God to show me the way and what His plan for me was when I was about 13 years old. It would be another 25 years before I got the call and the answer. My friend Casey came up to me at work the next morning, and with a stern look in his eyes and a heated countenance, pointed his finger in my face and said,
"Jesus is a Jew, and a Jew is a Hebrew, and a Hebrew is a Jew."
What do you say to that? What do you say to anyone who believes that 100% wholeheartedly? There's nothing you can say that they will believe or look at unless God chooses to open their eyes, ears, and heart. The thing about almost all church people and almost anyone is that their mind is made up. You can show them other opinions and even facts, and they still will not listen. Most will not even look at the evidence. Will you? This presentation will examine the evidence. Maybe Jesus is a Jew, and everything I am about to present is a lie, baseless, and blasphemy. You still get to believe whatever you want, but don't you think it is a good idea to at least look into it? After all, it has to do with your salvation. I like to remind people of two of my favorite quotes when it comes to considering new information.
It's easier to fool people than to convince them that they have been fooled. Mark Twain. It is the mark of an educated man to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it. Aristotle.
This topic is a controversial one. Most people have their minds made up and will not look at the evidence. It matters who and what we believe. Please examine the information provided in this study and then make up your mind. People assume Jesus was a Jew, but they don't base that on any actual evidence. All they can ever recite is,
"It says Jew in my King James Version."
All they can ever repeat is that Abraham was a Hebrew and Hebrews are Jews, and base their understanding of Scripture on that alone. We will begin by covering the common accepted belief of today's Christians, and then we will examine the evidence. We will cover the genealogy from Adam to Jesus and beyond. We will cover which tribes settled which nations. We will cover the land and territory. We will cover the words and meanings. We will cover the lineage of the Davidic throne. We will cover eyewitness accounts and historical records. We will cover the differences between Judaism and Christianity. We will cover portraits and paintings associated with Jesus. We will cover the prophecies and the identifying marks of Israel. We will cover everything that will expose the misunderstandings and lies and reveal the truth. You will likely not have heard of most of what will be presented here. Your first reaction may be to reject what you are hearing. You may be offended. You may also be very pleasantly surprised. Your zeal for Christianity may be revitalized and your spirit quickened. Not many people come to the knowledge of what will be presented here, and just so you know, you were not drawn to this study by accident. You were led here by the divine influence. The rest is up to you. You can take it or leave it. I again urge you to please have an open mind and take the time to go through this series, and then think for yourself and use your own discernment to reach your own conclusion. So, almost everyone assumes Jesus was a Jew. What is an assumption? Assumption, the act of taking to one's self, the act of taking for granted or supposing a thing without proof, supposition. The thing supposed, a postulate or proposition assumed. Supposed, laid down or imagined as true, imagined, believed, received as true. What is a presumption? Presumption, supposition of the truth or real existence of something without direct or positive proof of the fact, but grounded on circumstantial or probable evidence which entitles it to belief. Presume, to take or suppose to be true or entitled to belief, without examination or positive proof, or on the strength of probability. We presume that a man is honest, who has not been known to cheat or deceive, but in this we are sometimes mistaken. What is a lie? Lie, noun. A criminal falsehood, a falsehood uttered for the purpose of deception. An intentional violation of truth. A fiction, that which is feigned, invented, or imagined. False doctrine, an idolatrous picture of God or a false God. That which deceives and disappoints confidence. Lie, a verb, to utter falsehood with an intention to deceive or with an immoral design. To exhibit a false representation. To say or do that which deceives another, when he has the right to know the truth, or when morality requires a just representation. We all know Jesus was a Jew, right? Or was he? Does it even matter? Could we have been lied to? Could we have been deceived? Let's go over the common belief and understanding. We will now cover the basic explanation of how and why Jesus was a Jew, according to the churches.
Jesus was born a Jew. Jesus is a real, historical person born in the land of Israel during the Roman occupation in approximately the year 3 BC. That Jesus was born Jewish is one of the least contested truths of the Bible. The very first verse of the New Covenant reads, "The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham," Matthew 1:1. Who were Abraham and David? Abraham was the first Hebrew. God changed his name from Abram, Genesis 17:5. In Genesis 14:13, he is called Abram the Hebrew. So we can see that Jesus is descended from Abram the Hebrew. Even to this day, Jews are also called Hebrews. The language of the Jews is Hebrew.
Abraham was not the first Hebrew. Here we have the first presumption of the article. They presume this is a fact without examination. This is what church doctrine is based on: assumptions, presumptions, and lies, repeated over and 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 over. What about who Abraham descended from? Abraham was the great-great-great-great-grandson of Eber. Eber was the first Hebrew. The language of the Jews is not Hebrew. Jews speak Yiddish and modern Hebrew, which is not the same as Paleo Hebrew, which is ancient Hebrew. Jews are also called Israelis today. The Bible does not use the term Israelis. Did you know that Jews did not claim they were Israelites or Hebrews until 1860 AD? Encyclopedia Judaica, 1971, Volume 10, 23. We will cover the genealogical lineage from Adam to Jesus later. We will also cover the language too.
Abraham and his descendants were given the unconditional covenant of the promised land, Genesis 17:8, and the covenant of circumcision, Genesis 17:10.
Did you know that the Jews did not practice circumcision until around 125 BC, when John Hyrcanus conquered Edom, which the Romans called Idumea? Idumea was the territory of the Edomite Jews. This was the time when the land of Judah was merged with the land of Idumea into Judea. The Idumean Edomite Jews were permitted to stay in the land if they would adopt circumcision and the laws of the Israelites of the house of Judah. We will cover circumcision and the territories of Judah and Idumea later.
Abraham is the father of the Jews, Acts 3, 12-25. Isaac was his son, and Jacob was his grandson, Matthew 1-2. Thus, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are known as the patriarchs, the fathers of the Jews.
Acts chapter 3 does not mention Abraham being the father of the Jews. This is another presumption. Isaac and Jacob were not mentioned as Jews. Another assumption, presumed as fact without examination. There were patriarchs before Abraham, which never seem to be mentioned in the churches. How did Jews come from Abraham? I thought the Jews reckoned their lineage from the mother. Were there Jews before Abraham? We will cover this when we trace Abraham's ancestry.
Jacob's name was changed by God to Israel, Genesis 35:10-12, and he had 12 sons, Genesis 35:23-26, from whom come the 12 tribes of Israel. All of their descendants are known collectively throughout the Bible as the children of Israel, Exodus 1:6-7. One of those 12 sons was Judah, Genesis 35:23, and Matthew 1:2. And it is from his name that we get the word Jew.
This is another assumption, presumed as a fact without examination. Anyone who believes that a couple bearing 6 male children, with one being a different race than the other 5, does not understand genetics or God's law of kind after kind. The letter J did not exist until the 17th century. The word Jew was never in the original manuscripts and did not replace the word Judah until the 18th century. It took over 14 centuries for the Latin word for Judah, Judaeus, to go through many variations and become shortened, and then incorrectly and deliberately translated as Jew. And it stuck, and it was repeated over and over. We will cover this later.
Although Yehuda, which is Judah, was only one of the 12, by 700 BC, because of the course of Israel's history, the word Yehudi, for Jew, came to mean any person descending from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jeremiah 34:9. So, for instance, Saul, ha-shaliach, the Apostle Paul, was of the tribe of Benjamin, Romans 11:1. Yet he self-identified as a Jew, Acts 22:3.
Another presumption. Because people do not understand that the word Jew replaced the original Hebrew words Yahuda and Greek Judas for Judah. They always assume that when they see the word Jew, that it is speaking about Jews. We will cover this supposition later.
Nevertheless, according to the Bible, the Messiah must be descended from the tribe of Judah, Genesis 49:10, as King David was, 1 Samuel 17:12, 1 Chronicles 28:4, and descended from King David himself, 2 Samuel 7:12-13, Isaiah 9:6-7, and Jeremiah 23:5-6. That is why the Messiah is called Son of David, Matthew 21:9. Jesus is from the tribe of Judah, Hebrews 7:14. His earthly father was descended from David, Matthew 1:6-16, and his mother was as well, Luke 1:27-32-34, chapter 3:23-31. In addition, Jesus was born King of the Jews, Matthew 2:2. The King of the Jews must himself be Jewish, Deuteronomy 17:15.
Again, the presumption that the word Jew means Jews is just a supposition and an assumption. We will cover this later, as well as the Davidic line of kings, showing that Jews were not kings and are still not kings.
Jesus' aunt Elizabeth was Jewish, a descendant of Aaron, Moses' brother, and his uncle Zechariah was a Jewish priest, Luke 1:5-36. Jesus was circumcised according to Jewish law, Luke 2:21, Leviticus 12:2-3, and redeemed according to Jewish law, Luke 2:22-23, and Numbers 18:15. His mother atoned according to Jewish law, Luke 2:24, Leviticus 12:6-8. He is called the consolation of Israel, Luke 2:25, and the glory of thy people Israel, Luke 2:32. Jesus was born a Jew.
Again, the presumption of the meaning of the word Jew is assumed to mean the Jewish people. We will cover this later. So in the first section of this article, we see that the common teaching is that Jesus was born a Jew. This is based on the English word Jew that is found in modern Bibles. The churches do not examine the Hebrew and Greek words. They do not trace genealogy. They do not trace migration or history. And they cannot discern the fruits and marks between the Jews and the Israelites. This is because the presumption and assumption and supposition that the word Jew in the Bible means a Jew.
Jesus lived as a Jew, although he was born in Bethlehem, Matthew 2:1, Micah 5:2. Jesus was raised in Nazareth, Luke 2:39-40. Both were Jewish towns at the time, according to archaeologists and historians. Bethlehem is just south of Jerusalem, while Nazareth is north, in the Galilee section. Both of Jesus' parents were from Nazareth, Luke 1:26-27, 2:4, and 39, and they returned there with the child when they had done everything according to the law of the Lord that his birth required, Luke 2:39. His aunt and uncle were also Torah-observant Jews, Luke 1:6, so we can see that probably the whole family took their faith very seriously.
Bethlehem and Nazareth were not Jewish towns. Here is another presumption. Bethlehem was in the territory of Judah. Judah was an Israelite territory. Nazareth was in the old territory of the northern kingdom of Israel in Samaria. Jews lived in the territory south of Judah, called Idumea, just 100 years prior to the time of Christ. We will cover the merging of Judah and Idumea later, and the confusion between these territories.
Jesus' parents made the 140-mile round trip to Jerusalem every Passover, Luke 2:41, in observance of Deuteronomy 16:16. It was at the age of 12 that Jesus stayed behind an extra 3 days to learn from the temple teachers, Luke 2:46. In adult life, his disciples were Jews, John 1:47, Matthew 20:25-26, and they called him Rabbi, John 4:31. Mary called him Rabboni, John 20:16. They sought him because they believed the Torah and the prophets, John 1:45.
More presumptions. The disciples were not Jews. We will also learn that Jesus did not want to be called Rabbi. This was something that the Jewish Pharisees loved being called. More on this later.
When Jesus was taken prisoner by a Roman captain, his cohort, and some Jewish officials, John 18:12, he was delivered into the custody of the Jewish priests, elders, and scribes, Mark 14:53. The Roman soldiers would not have placed him under Jewish jurisdiction if he were not Jewish.
Here are more presumptions and assumptions. If you read the plain English of the King James Perversion, in John 18:12, it clearly states, "The band, captain, and officers of the Jews took Jesus." These were the squads of the priests, temple guards, and officers. The churches teach that the Romans did all these things and murdered Jesus. This is an assumption based on presumption without examination. We will cover this later.
Later, Jesus was brought before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, Luke 22:66. He was charged with an offense against Jewish law, Matthew 26:65-66, Leviticus 24:13-14, and John 19:7.
Jewish law is different than the Ten Commandments and God's laws. Jesus committed no offense and did not break any laws. The Jews made up their own laws, their own ordinances, and their own traditions. Jesus even rebuked them for these things. We will cover this later.
Pilate, head of the Roman occupation, also recognized Jewish jurisdiction over Jesus, John 18:31. This was because Jesus was a Jew, John 18:35.
More presumptions. Pilate was being blackmailed by the Jewish Pharisees who could cause trouble for Pilate with Caesar. If the Jews had jurisdiction over Jesus, why did they bring him to Pilate and try to get Pilate to condemn him? Why did Pilate state that he had the power to crucify or release him? Why did Pilate wash his hands of a man he found no guilt in?
He unequivocally identified himself as the Messiah, Mark 14:61-62, and as we have seen above, the Messiah must be Jewish.
Another presumption that the Messiah must be Jewish. Didn't the Jews believe the prophecies? Didn't the Jews reject him and still reject him as Messiah?
He said he is the King of the Jews, Matthew 27:11, and, as we have also seen above, the King of the Jews must himself be Jewish.
Presumption on top of presumption. Jesus did not say he was King of the Jews in verse 11. Pilate did. Also, the King of the Jews is not a Jewish king or King of Jews. We will cover this later.
The Jewish crowd also called him King of the Jews, Mark 15:12.
Another presumption that the crowd was Jewish. As we will cover later, the crowds were of mixed multitudes of Judean Israelites, Judean Jews, and people of the surrounding nations, such as Greeks and Syrians.
He was mocked, spat upon, and beaten by the Roman soldiers as King of the Jews, Mark 15:16-20, and when they crucified him, their charge was King of the Jews, Matthew 27:37.
Again, more presumptions. It was the Roman soldiers whom Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." The Romans were descendants of Zerah, the twin brother of Pharez, whom Jesus was descended from. More on this later. We will also cover what the accusation set up over his head, correctly said, later.
Joseph of Arimathea, who took custody of Jesus' body, was Jewish, Luke 23:50-52, and he laid the body in his own new tomb, Matthew 27:59-60. Therefore, Jesus was buried in a Jewish cemetery. He was also buried according to Jewish custom of the time, John 19:40. Without a doubt, Jesus died a Jew.
Without doubt, more presumptions, suppositions, and assumptions. Joseph of Arimathea was not Jewish. As we will see later, Joseph was of royal blood and an ancestor of British kings. So we see in the second section of this article that the common teaching and presumption is that Jesus lived and died a Jew. This is based on the assumption that the land, the cities, the relatives, the laws, and the crowds were Jewish.
Jesus was resurrected a Jew. Jesus, the risen Jew, told his Jewish disciples to go out and teach all the Gentiles, Matthew 28:19.
Presumptions and repeated assumptions continue to give life to suppositions. If you examine the word Gentiles, G1484, you will see the great big lie. You can examine the study on Gentiles, which shows how this deception works. Gentiles is a Latin word that simply means a nation or race of people. It does not mean non-Jew. Why did Jesus in Matthew 10 tell his disciples, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles"? Why did Jesus in Matthew 15 say, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel"? How could Abraham, if he were a Jew, be a father of many Gentiles? How could Rebecca, if she were a Jewess, have two Gentiles in her Jewish belly? We will cover this later.
Many years after his resurrection, Jesus himself testified that he is the root and offspring of King David, Revelation 22:16, and in a time yet future, two of his titles will be Lion of the Tribe of Judah and Root of David, Revelation 5:5.
As we will see in this presentation and study, the root and offspring of King David is not of Jewish origin or lineage.
In Hebrews 13:8, we are told Jesus the Messiah is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, if he ever was a Jew, he was resurrected a Jew, and he is one to this day. He was born a Jew, he lived a Jew, he died a Jew, and he was resurrected a Jew. He is alive and Jewish now, and forevermore the same, Jewish.
Such dangerous presumptions and suppositions and assumptions to base all these beliefs on the repeated false doctrines and fables. How would Jesus the Jew escape the prophecy of Obadiah then? In case you were not aware, Obadiah foretells the fate of the children of Edom. But you have to know who Edom is in order to know their fate. More on that later. Let's start with the obvious. Genealogy. The genealogy of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, Matthew 1:1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. This very first verse is a statement of race. The meaning is descent. Many churches teach that this word generation means of that time, which is incorrect. Generation is G1078 Genesis and means source, origin, a book of one's lineage. Psalm 132:11, Yahweh has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it.
Of the fruit of your body will I set upon your throne.
Isaiah 11:1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Statements of race. A pure body will produce pure fruit. David was not of the generation of the time of Christ. Christ was of the same racial family as David. Adam, through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, his 12 sons and their descendants after them, are of the same generations, meaning race. Genesis 5:1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. Genesis, by definition, means gender. It means origin, engendered, copulate, and breed. So is the book of Genesis about Adam's descendants, or is the whole Bible about Adam's descendants? Why are the genealogies constantly and repeatedly listed? Because the whole Bible is about the racial family of Adam, the history of the Adamic race, and the future inheritance of the household of Adam. Just so you are aware, all the races did not come from Adam, or later from the sons of Noah. The churches teach that. These verses through verse 16 here in Matthew prove Joseph's line, Mary's husband. Verse 2, Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, and Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar, and Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram, and Aram begat Aminadab, and Aminadab begat Naasson, and Naasson begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rechab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias, and Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Asa, and Asa begat Josaphat, and Josaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Ozias, and Ozias begat Joatham, and Joatham begat Achaz, and Achaz begat Ezekias, and Ezekias begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Amon, and Amon begat Josias, and Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren, and about the same time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, Jeshua the son of Josedech, and Ezra and Nehemiah and the returning remnant rebuilt the temple at Jerusalem in 516 BC. Verse 13. And Zerubbabel begat Abiud, and Abiud begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azor, and Azor begat Sadoc, and Sadoc begat Achim, and Achim begat Eliad, and Eliad begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Matthan, and Matthan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Matthew provides sufficient genealogical evidence to show that Yeshua Christ indeed stood in line and inherited the rightful claim to rule from Joseph, his lawful father. Now let's look at the genealogical line of Mary. The ancestors of Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, Luke 3:23, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Supposed is G3543, nomizo, and means properly to do by law, that is, to accustom, to deem or regard, to hold by custom or usage, to follow a custom. What is the custom? The law of marriage and the law of the next of kin. Deuteronomy 25:5. If brethren dwell together, and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry outside unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her, and take her to him to wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother unto her. Stranger is zur. Zur, in this context, means one outside the immediate family to a foreign kinsman. The reason of this law was to keep up the distinction of tribes and families, the design of the law being to secure inheritances and continue them in the families to which they belonged. The Targum of Jonathan describes them as brethren on the father's side. This also shows that lineage is reckoned by the father, not the mother. Continuing in Deuteronomy 25:6, "And it shall be that the firstborn which she bears shall succeed in the name of his brother which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel. And if the man like not to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate unto the elders and say, My husband's brother refuses to raise up unto his brother a name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elders of his city shall call him and speak unto him. And if he stand to it and say, I like not to take her, then shall his brother's wife come unto him in the presence of the elders and loose his shoe from his foot and spit in his face and shall answer and say, So shall it be done unto that man that will not build up his brother's house." We will see more of this when we get to Ruth. So Joseph was not the birth father of Jesus. Joseph was the legal father of Jesus. The law of the duty of the brother and the law of the near kinsman applies to all Israelites. The lineage of Joseph, shown in Matthew, reveals that Joseph is of the tribe of Judah through the Davidic line. Joseph raises Jesus up through the house of Judah in the name of David. Joseph was the nearest kinsman to Mary, and he did the duty of the next of kin. This is one of the examples that shows that Israelite descent goes through the father. This patriarchal descent through the father continues throughout the whole Bible. The Jews reckon their descent through the mother. Matrilineality in Judaism, or matrilineal descent in Judaism, is the tracing of Jewish descent through the maternal line. Matriarchal descent through the mother is not found in the Bible. In Matthew, the Greek reads, and such begets, or generates, such and such. In Luke, the Greek does not read begets, or generates. Luke does not use the Greek word G1080 geneo, which means to procreate, regenerate, beget, engender. Its related word is G1085, genos, which means kindred, offspring, family, stock, tribe, nation, nationality, descent. This is translated this way in Luke, without the son of, because the genealogy in Luke is the line of Mary, who is not a son. Words in italics are added by the translators. Sometimes they help connect a sentence. Sometimes they just plainly don't belong. So continuing with Luke, Jesus Christ, as reckoned by the law, the son of Joseph, whom Mary, which was of Heli, which was of Mattath, which was of Levi, which was of Melchi, which was of Janna, which was of Joseph, which was of Mattathias, which was of Amos, which was of Nahum, which was of Esli, which was of Nagi, which was of Maath, which was of Mattathias, which was of Simei, which was of Joseph, which was of Judah, which was of Joanna, which was of Ressa, which was of Zerubbabel, which was of Salathiel, which was of Neri, which was of Melchi, which was of Adi, which was of Kosam, which was of Elmodam, which was of Er, which was of Jose, which was of Eleazar, which was of Joram, which was of Mathat, which was of Levi, which was of Simeon, which was of Judah, which was of Joseph, which was of Jonan, which was of Eliakim, which was of Malaya, which was of Menan, which was of Matatha, which was of Nathan, which was of David, which was of Jesse, which was of Obed, which was of Boaz, which was of Salmon, which was of Naason, which was of Aminadab, which was of Aram, which was of Esram, which was of Pharez, which was of Judah, which was of Jacob, which was of Isaac, which was of Abraham, which was of Terah, which was of Nahor, which was of Saruk, which was of Reu, which was of Phalek, which was of Eber, which was of Salah, which was of Canaan, which was of Arphaxad, which was of Shem, which was of Noah, which was of Lamech, which was of Methuselah, which was of Enoch, which was of Jared, which was of Mahalaleel, which was of Canaan, which was of Enos, which was of Seth, which was of Adam, which was of God. God follows his own laws of marriage and divorce. Yahweh God married our Israelite ancestors at Sinai. They broke the marriage covenant by cheating on him through idolatry and race mixing with the Canaanite and Edomite nations, as well as with the pagan nations of their own kindred peoples, such as the Assyrians. After repeated warnings through his prophets, God had enough and divorced the children of Israel in 745 BC. The bill of divorce was given by the Assyrians, whom God sent to punish them and carry them away into captivity. The prophecies promised that God would reconcile and remarry them in the latter days. This is why Jesus, who is God in the flesh, had to die, to be free from the law of divorce, as no husband may remarry his wife after a divorce. With God figuratively dead and released from the law of marriage, he may be married to us in the person of Yeshua, Jesus Christ. But this does not happen until the wedding feast when he returns for his bride. Joseph was the legal father of Jesus, who, as the firstborn son, received the inheritance of king. If Joseph had already fathered a son, then that son would be legally first in line. Therefore, it is apparent that Alphaeus is another man by whom Mary had children with later in life, and there is no blame, challenge, or accusation anywhere which may be made that would disqualify Jesus as rightful heir. We will cover this more when we get to Mary later in this presentation. This is all the time we have today. We've laid the groundwork for this study. I hope and pray that you will continue with me in this series as we examine all the evidence. By the end of this study, you should have enough information to correctly identify who Jesus is, and you should be able to see that the churches are in great error with what they teach, especially about who Jesus is. Does it matter if Jesus is a Jew or not? It most certainly does. Do you believe in the Jesus of Scripture or the Jesus of the churches? Are you calling upon the right Jesus? Are you giving the glory to the correct Jesus?
You shall have no other gods before me.
Are you sure the Jesus you know is the Jesus you should have in your heart. I want to remind you that there are links throughout this study that you can view at any time. Just right-click your mouse and open in a new tab. I recommend you listen or read the entire series first, and then go back and visit the links. Most of the links will take you to full studies, which cover every verse in that study. I am also available to answer questions and provide any more information you may need to get to the truth of the matter. Go to the contact section on the menu. In the next episode, we will begin examining the genealogy from the beginning, starting with Adam. Please join me. Please have an open mind, and please pray for understanding, and the truth shall revitalize you and set you free.
So gentle.